Kala, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Ches. This Mishnah deals with the topic of Isas HaKlavim, dough for dogs. That is to say, it's a kind of dough which is made of flour and water, but added to the dough is also the very coarse bran that's found on the outside of grains. Now, normally that's called morsin, and normally when it comes to morsin, it's like hard grass. If you haven't seen it, it's hard to describe. It's all cellulose and it's miserable to eat, and no one in their right mind would eat it. And in fact, the normal use of morsin for humans is like as an exfoliant, as a scrub on your body, etc. So naturally, if you put morsin, this very coarse outer bran, into your dough, regular people would not eat that dough. However, and that's why it's called Isas Klavim, because the normal use is to give it to dogs as a dog food. However, if there's just a little bit of that morsin mixed into the dough, so then people who are at the really bottom of the socioeconomic stratum, meaning in the case of the time of the Mishnah, we're talking about shepherds. Shepherds have slim pickings, and they would suffice themselves out there in the fields with this very poor quality bread if it had just a little bit of the coarse grain, the coarse bran inside of it. So the point of our mission is very simple. It's going to say, if there's dough, and in the dough is mixed in a bit of coarse bran, so if shepherds would eat that such a thing, then it's considered food. And that being the case, we'll say seven halachas that apply to it by virtue of the fact that it's considered food, one of which was that it's obligated in the mitzvah of challah. And if not, meaning if it's got too much coarse bran that even a shepherd would refuse to eat such a bread made of such a dough, so then it does not constitute food for humans, and therefore the converse, those seven halachas do not apply. There's one more point at the end of the Mishnah. We'll get to it in a moment. So the Mishnah starts out by saying, Isas HaKalavim, the dough that is for the dogs, again, that has this morsin, this very coarse bran mixed inside of it. Bezman Sharom Ochlin Memenu, if it's a scenario, a kind of dough that at least shepherds would eat from it, so then it's considered food, and that being the case, these seven halachas apply. First of all, chayevas b'chala, assuming you have the requisite amount of the dough and flour, then you'd have to separate chala from the dough. And second of all, uma'arvin ba, it can be used to make an eruv. According to the Bartano, we're talking about eruv chatzeros, that is to say, if you have multiple private homes around a shared common but private area, a chatzer, think of like a hotel lobby or an apartment building lobby, there it was sort of like an open courtyard that was shared by the different residents. So since that area is really a reshus hayachid in terms of the halachas of Shabbos, right, it's walled off, it's got mechitza all around, so technically it is a reshus hayachid, and one could carry from one's private home or reshus hayachid to that shared area, which is reshus hayachid. But since many people do use that space, it sort of feels psychologically a bit like a Rosh Hashanah, and that being the case, Chazal were masakin this mitzvah derabanan of eruvi chatzeros, that one has to, la'arev is to combine, has to combine the different residents of the chatzer under a single banner, if you will, the banner of food, and it's as if they all kind of live together, and as much as their domains are unified because they share food amongst them all. So you have to, actually the halachas specifically stake bread when it comes to Erev Chatzeros. Only bread will suffice, so you have to get some bread and put it in someone's house, and then that Erev allows everyone to carry from their homes to the Chatzer and back again. So we're saying here, according to the Bartanura, that bread made of the Isas HaKlavim has a bit of this very coarse bran inside of it, assuming that a shepherd would eat this bread, so then it can be used to make an Erev Chatzeros. The Rambam learns we're talking about Erev Tchumen, a way of combining or relocating your locus for Shabbos with the halachas of Tchum. You can't go beyond 2,000 amos, I'll call that 2 kilometers, let's say, or whatever it is, outside, sorry, 1 kilometer, I should say, 1 kilometer, roughly, outside of the city limits. In any case, I'm not sure if there's an argument there in terms of if either or would work. Mishal says umishtatfin ba. You also can use it for what it's called. Shituf is also like coordination. Shituf imuvaos is to combine and unite the residents around the Mavui. A Mavui is like a side street that connects the different chatzeros, the courtyards, to the main Rosh Hasharam, the main road, and the kind of similar rules apply. You need to have some food that unites the residents of the Mavui in order to allow people to carry amongst themselves in the Mavui. In the case of the Mavui, since it is not necessarily closed on all four sides, you have to get the korah up or the lechi up, you know, something that marks off a closed area. All halachas beyond the scope of this Mishnah here. In any case, the point is the food component that sets up the shituf, the combined residency, if you will, halachically speaking, of the residents in that side street. You need to use some food. Any food will do. And including that is bread made from isas hakalav, mesuvim, that a shepherd would eat it. Fourth of all, umavarchen aleha, one makes a bracha on such bread, meaning that's the bracha of hamotzi. And of course, on benches, and that's the fifth, umezamna aleha, you make a zimun, the good old zimun, baruch shachalnu mishlo tovachayinu, you know, the Rav Hassan Berech, zimun, when three eat together. V'nasas b'yom tov, one is permitted, says the Mishnah, to bake such bread on Yom Tov. The reason why is because it's appropriate food for human beings to eat. So one could bake it on Yom Tov. Remember, baking on Yom Tov as Ochel Nefesh is permitted, but one is not allowed to permit, one is not permitted to cook for, let's say, dogs. So if it would not be human food, it would be disallowed to bake such bread. But since humans could eat it, it is allowed to be eaten. And that's true, by the way, even if dogs would be eating from it also. That's a bit of a longer piece, but we'll leave that for now. That's the fact. But certainly if one were, just speaking it out, if one were baking such bread for the sake of giving it to dogs, then one could not bake it on Yom Tov. Even if the truth is, even if it was had no morsel, had no bran, it was just good old-fashioned, you know, grade A bread, you can't cook on Yom Tov for animals, so that would be disallowed. But here we're making it for humans to consume, and therefore it's permitted. And finally, v'yotze ba'adam yadei chovaso b'pesach, a person who uses matzah made of flour that was turned into dough, that was turned into matzah, and in that dough had some morsin. If shepherds will eat it, and it hasn't risen, you can use it for your matzah and Pesach. No problem, because it's got a dinner bread. And the converse, im ein haroen ochen memena, if a shepherd would not eat from bread made of such dough, in other words, there's too much of this coarse bran mixed in that now becomes inedible for normal people, even normal shepherds, I should say. So then, eina chayavas b'challah, such a batch of dough is exempt from the requirements of challah, even if you've got more than the 43.2 eggs worth of flour. Vein ma'arvin ba, it's not legitimate to use such bread for your erev chatzeros. Vein mishtatfim ba, you can't use the bread for shituv mavos. If you would eat such bread, it's essentially inedible. And since it's not food, things that are not food do not get a bracha. Just like if you would decide to eat grass. If you decide to eat grass, so since grass is inedible for human beings, there's no bracha, you don't make a bray pradam on grass, etc. Ve'ein mezamna leha. Similarly, you don't bench on it, you don't make a zimun when you bench on it, because there's no benching at all. And if event that you ate such bread, and the ein anasas b'yom tov, you cannot bake it on Yom Tov because it's not for human consumption. Then adam yotze ba yodei chavasu b'pesach, if you have matzah made out of such bread, it doesn't count as bread, and therefore it is not sufficient matzah to be yotze the mitzvah of matzah and Pesach. Now, finally, ben kach u ben kach, says the Mishnah, it doesn't matter whether you have too much morsin that even a shepherd wouldn't eat from such bread, or you don't have that much morsin mixed in, that much coarse bran, and a shepherd would eat from this bread. In either case, mitamei tumas ochlin, that is to say, it receives the tumah of ochlin. So I don't want to get too technical here, it's not essential to understand the Mishnah, but for something to be a recipient of tumah, it has to fit into one of four categories neatly. It has to be an adam, a person, a Jew really, or a kli, a utensil is defined by Maseches Kelim, or ochlin, or mashkin, or food or drink. Now, if something's not food, so then it is not makabel tuma. If you happen to have, I don't know, a twig, or you have a rind from a pomegranate or something. So then, even if a dead rat or a dead person, whatever, touches that pomegranate rind or twig, they remain tahor. So we're saying here that if you make bread, if you have dough that comes from with it's isas haklavim, has a lot of morsin, it actually, yes, is sufficiently foody to be able to be fall into the category of ochlin, and it does receive tumas ochlin, it does become tame if, say, the dead rat touches it. Now, it's curious because I just said a minute ago, if it's not food, it's not makabel tuma. So the bartender simply says, since people will eat it aydeir chak, if they have nothing else to eat, under present circumstances, that's good enough. That's not so pashit, but very possibly you can supplement that answer by saying, initially, the flour and water, when it's mixed together, that is food. Even though when you mix up the morsin into it and you bake into bread, it stops becoming food for human beings. At some point along the way, it is food and edible. And once something is edible as food, if it later degrades to being the kind of food that a dog would eat, it still is tuma susceptible. So once it's food, even if it begins to spoil or get spoiled, as long as dogs will eat it, it remains tuma susceptible until the point where a dog himself wouldn't eat it. At that point, it loses its status of food altogether. You're perhaps familiar with these halachas when it comes to Pesach and Chomet Nukcha, etc. In any case, so that's what we say over here too. Since this started out being food and it's still at least edible by dogs, it is makabel tuma as tumas ochlin as food.